Chapter 23. The man who was the driving force behind the Jersey colony lay on an office couch inside the concealed headquarters of the project. He rested his eyes and concentrated on his meeting with the president on the golf course. Leonard Hudson knew damn well the president wasn't about to sit still and wait patiently for another surprise contact. The chief executive was a pusher who never left anything to luck. Although Hudson's sources inside the White House and the intelligence agencies reported no indication of an investigation, he was certain the president was figuring a way to penetrate the curtain around the inner core. He could almost feel the net being thrown. His secretary rapped softly on the door and then opened it. "Excuse me for intruding, but Mr. Steinmetz is on the viewer and wishes to talk to you. I'll be there in a minute." Hudson rearranged his thoughts as he laced his shoes. Like a computer, he logged out of one problem and called up another. He didn't look forward to battling with Steinmetz, even if the man was a quarter of a million miles away. Eli Steinmetz was the kind of engineer who overcame an obstacle by designing a mechanical solution and then building it with his own hands. His talent for improvisation was the reason Hudson had chosen him as the leader of the Jersey colony. A graduate of Caltech with a master's degree from MIT, he had supervised construction projects in half the countries of the world, even Russia. When approached by the Inner Core to build the first human habitat on lunar soil, Steinmetz had taken nearly a week to make a decision, while his mind wrestled with the awesome concept and staggering logistics of such a project. Finally, he accepted, but only on his own terms. He and only he would select the crew to live on the moon. There would be no pilots or prima donna astronauts in residence. All space flights would be directed by ground control or computers. Only men whose special qualifications were vital in the construction of the base would be included. Besides Steinmetz, the first three to launch the colony were solar and structural engineers. Months later, a biologist doctor, a geochemical engineer, and a horticulturalist arrived. Other scientists and technicians followed as their special skills and knowledge were required. At first, Steinmetz had been considered too old. He was 53 when he set foot on the moon, and he was 59 now. But Hudson and the other Inner Core members weighed experience over age and never once regretted their selection. Now Hudson stared into the video monitor at Steinmetz, who was holding up a bottle with a hand-drawn label. Unlike the other colonists, Steinmetz's face sprouted no beard, and his head was clean-shaven. His skin had a dusky tint that complemented his slate-black eyes. Steinmetz was a fifth-generation American Jew, but he could have walked unnoticed in a Muslim mosque. "How's that for self-sufficiency?" said Steinmetz. "Chateau Lunar Chardonnay, 1989. Not exactly a premier vintage. Only had enough grapes to make four bottles. Should have allowed the vines in the greenhouses to mature another year, but we got impatient."
"I see you even made your own bottle," observed Hudson.
"Yes, our pilot chemical plant is in full operation now. We've increased our output to where we can process almost 2 tons of lunar soil materials into 200 pounds of a bastard metal or 500 pounds of glass in 15 days. Steinmetz appeared to be sitting at a long, flat table in the center of a small cave. He was wearing a thin cotton shirt and a pair of jogger shorts.
"You look cool and comfortable," said Hudson.
"Our first priority when we landed," Steinmetz said, smiling. "Remember?
Seal the entrance to the cavern and pressurize its interior so you could work in a comfortable atmosphere without the handicap of encapsulated suits.
After living in those damn things for 8 months, you can't imagine what a relief it was to get back into normal clothing."
"Murphy has been closely monitoring your temperatures, and he says the walls of the cavern are increasing their rate of heat absorption. He suggests that you send a man out and lower the angle on the solar collectors by half a degree."
"I'll see to it."
Hudson paused.
"It won't be long now, Eli. Much changed on Earth since I left?"
"About the same, only more smog, more traffic, more people."
Steinmetz laughed. "You trying to talk me into another tour of duty, Leo?"
"Wouldn't dream of it. You're going to be the biggest man on campus since Lindbergh when you drop out of the blue." I'll have all our records packed and secured in the lunar transfer vehicle 24 hours before liftoff. I hope you don't have a mind to uncork your lunar vino on the trip home. No, we'll hold our farewell party in plenty of time to purge all alcoholic residue. Hudson had been trying to approach his point sideways, but decided it was better to come right out with it. You will have to deal with the Russians shortly before you leave, he said in a monotone. We've been through this, Steinmetz replied firmly. There is no reason to believe they'll land within 2,000 miles of the Jersey colony. Then seek them out and destroy them. You have the weapons and equipment for such a hunting expedition. Their scientists won't be armed. The last thing they'd expect is an attack from men already on the moon. The boys and I will gladly defend the homestead, but we're not about to go out and shoot down unarmed men who are innocent of any threat. Listen to me, Eli, Hudson implored. There is a threat, a very real one. If the Soviets somehow discover the existence of Jersey Colony, they can move right in. With you and your people returning to Earth less than 24 hours after the cosmonauts land, the colony will be deserted and everything in it fair game. I realize that as well as you, said Steinmetz roughly, and hate it even worse. But the sad fact is we can't postpone our departure. We've pushed ourselves to the limit and beyond up here. I can't order these men to hang on another 6 months or a year, or until your friends can whistle up another craft to take us from space to a soft landing on Earth. Cross it off to bad luck and the Russians, who leaked their lunar landing schedule after it was too late for us to alter our return flight. The moon belongs to us by right of possession, Hudson argued angrily. Men of the United States were the first to walk on its soil, and we were the first to colonize it. For God's sake, Eli, don't turn it over to a bunch of thieving communists. Damn it, Leo, there's enough moon for everybody. Besides, this isn't exactly a Garden of Eden. Outside this cavern, day and night temperatures can vary as much as 250 degrees Celsius. I doubt if even casino gambling could make a go of it here. Look, even if the cosmonauts fall into our colony, they won't strike a gold vein of information. The accumulation of all our data will go back to Earth with us. What we leave behind, we can destroy. Don't be a fool. Why destroy what can be used by the next colonists, permanent colonists, who will need every advantage they can get? Viewing the monitor in front of him, Steinmetz could see the flush on Hudson's face 240,000 miles away. I've made my position clear, Leo. We'll defend Jersey Colony if need be, but don't expect us to form a posse to kill innocent cosmonauts. It's one thing to shoot at an unmanned space probe, but quite another to murder a fellow human being for trespassing on land he has every right to walk on. There was an uneasy silence after this statement, but it was no less than what Hudson expected from Steinmetz. The man was no coward. Far from it. Hudson had heard reports of many fights and brawls. Steinmetz could be pushed and clubbed to the floor, but when he came to his feet and his rage seethed to a boil, he could fight like 10 devils incarnate. Purveyors of his legend had lost count of the backcountry saloon patrons he had mauled. Hudson broke the spell. Suppose the Soviet cosmonauts land within 50 miles. Will that prove to you they intend to occupy Jersey Colony? Steinmetz shifted in his stone-carved chair, reluctant to make a concession. We'll have to wait and see. Nobody ever won a battle by going on the defensive, Hudson lectured him. If their landing site is within striking distance and they show every indication of advancing on the colony, will you accept a compromise and attack? Steinmetz bowed his shaven head in assent. Since you insist on putting my back to the wall, you don't leave me much choice. The stakes are too high, said Hudson. You have no choice at all.